Into the Blender. What? Episode 51.
Stop messing with me. You're not missing a thing. You keep going and I'm just showing.
Into the Blender. We're going to be talking about putting lots of things in a blender and seeing what it tastes like.
It's not quite what it's about.
Oh, I thought it was a drink mixology show.
We get that a lot.
We do. I know. We'd have way better numbers if it were.
Maybe we should start an adjunct video podcast.
Yeah. We hardly ever use the blender, though. Maybe it's time we started.
Could use blender for Jaeger bombs.
Yeah. I don't remember having one before, but that was really tasty.
Sweet. Was that me?
That was you.
It might have been me.
No, it was me.
I'm going to turn my ringer volume down, though. Hey, everybody. This is Viv.
And this is Chooch.
And we have a special guest in the borough this week, as you might have noticed.
Kaylee Dog.
Yay! Kaylee and PG Holyfield.
Oh yeah.
Well, yeah. Kaylee's much more welcome.
Well, she doesn't, make as much of a mess. All she does is leave nose prints on the glass.
I don't know. Her breath will stick around for a while.
That's true. Do you want to pimp your shiz?
My shizzle?
Mm-hmm.
As you probably well know, listeners, I'm very good friends with Chooch and Viv. They are my my family in Virginia still, even though I have other family in Virginia. I come to Virginia, I visit Chooch and Viv. But I am a writer, and my first novel, Murder at Avedon Hill, came out in May from Dragon Moon Press, and been having fun with that. I'm still podcasting infrequently, but doing Tales of the Children, which is a short story anthology set in the same fantasy world as Murder at Avedon Hill. And we've done 6 episodes of that, I think, and got a couple more that will be coming out relatively soon. And then we'll start I don't know why I'm breaking it up into season 1 and then season 2 will start. But we're starting with a bigger longer story from Jack Mangan. Called The Lighthouse Keeper, which is a really fun story. A lot more magic than usually in these stories, because my world's a low magic setting. But we're just pushing it back in earlier in the history where there's a lot more magic going on. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Cool.
Sounds very cool. More magic is definitely intriguing. And you have actually been asking people for feedback on your Tales of the Children episodes.
Oh, yeah.
And I've listened to all of them twice. I'm terrible with feedback.
That's okay. And you going to be leaving Amazon reviews for me?
Huh? Yeah. Remind me again in an hour.
That murder inevitable.
Count on it, babes. We plan on doing a media review tonight. That's what our goal is. That's why we've got PG down here.
Yes.
Because he has a lot of the same media interests that we do, which is basically all media. Any way we can consume content.
Yeah.
So we've got a pretty lengthy list. This may be broken up into 2 episodes. We'll just have to see how long it is.
It just depends on how much we blab.
Right. And did you guys want to do like a commentary on the Geek Radio Daily pub crawl that we went to last night?
Certainly.
Sure.
PG, you're our guest. Why don't you tell us what you thought of the GRD pub crawl last night?
This is my second. Have they been doing it 4 years now? Or 5?
It was the first one I've been to, I don't know.
4. Yeah, because I went to the second one, and then I went last night, which was the 4th one. And I lived in Richmond for 2.5 years, so I was familiar with some of the bars that we went to.
Mm.
And, we had a nice dinner with our friend Jet.
Yeah.
And then, went... Went down to Shinnae.
Hold on. You're going to have to describe the dinner that you and Chooch had. You can't just gloss over this.
We had dinner and then we went drinking. No, we went to the Capitol Ale House.
Yes.
Which is a great restaurant. Lots of good beers. And Chooch and I both had, what is the name of the burger?
the bacon grilled cheese Angus burger.
Yeah. Which...
it's horror on a plate.
It is a half-pound burger. And instead of buns, you have a grilled cheese sandwich on top. And
with, made with hamburger buns.
Made with hamburger buns, yeah. Yes. So it still looks like a hamburger or a normal burger, except it's about 4 inches tall. And then you have a grilled cheese sandwich on the bottom of the burger.
Right.
So there are pictures. You should put that in as your album art.
Oh, yeah. That could be the ID3 art. And don't forget the bacon.
Yes.
No, bacon. Wonderful, wonderful thick-cut bacon.
Yeah.
And
it was horrifying watching you guys inhale.
I ate everything. I had an empty plate.
You cleared your plate.
It was the challenge. You know, you said T. Morris had had one and left one bite so he could say that he didn't eat all of it.
Yeah, he did not eat all of it. And also, I don't think he came anywhere near eating all the fries.
No.
So you far surpassed.
Yes. And then someone on Twitter, I can't remember who it was, said, well, did it have bottomless fries? And I was like, man, I should have asked because I really could have eaten more when I was done. But, you know, and now I weigh 10 pounds heavier than I did yesterday.
It tends to happen.
And that's just the arteries.
Yeah. And, and the blood is moving very slowly through my body right now.
Yeah. That tends to happen when people visit us. They tend to gain weight. I think we need to do something about that.
Fortification, I think, really helped in the drinking part of the evening.
Yeah, because there was a lot of drinkage accomplished last night.
That may have been my problem, as I just had a regular burger.
Yep, mm-hmm. Yep. Now you know, next time try.
And didn't eat much of the bread. The
grilled cheese burger from hell.
And then once I leave the hospital, the cardiac care unit, then I can meet up with you guys at the pub crawl where you guys...
But you wouldn't have a hangover.
Oh, God. The hangover that lasted all day until like 2 hours ago.
Yeah. But then we went to restaurant number one, had a drink. The rest of the pub crawl was there. I think there was 8 of us total that were going from place to place.
Yeah, and then the vicar and Warren showed up.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That made 10. They were having dinner at the first place, Chenet, and then we went to two or three other places and then ended up at the wonderful bar, nightclub, fetish place called Fallout.
Yeah.
Which is a private club, so they can do
whatever they want there.
Fallout was quite the place. I've been there, was there the last pub crawl, and it was a little, it was actually less tame the first time I was there because they were having not a rave, but a lot of hard techno music, and there was a lot more people there, and people, a lot more dancing and things going on. I was very subdued last night. I just sort of watched. I didn't get out there and do crazy things. So.
Yeah.
Although you thought I was going to be tied to a wall before the end of the evening.
we were promised that PG was tied to a wall, so we went scuttling down to find it, and he wasn't.
The secret back room.
The secret lair or something.
With the swing and the chains on the wall. So.
Really?
What, the swing? You didn't see the swing?
Look, after you Mars bars?
You were actually on the swing, swinging for a while.
No, definitely not.
You don't remember that?
No, I don't remember that because it didn't happen. But I have clear memory for like pretty much the entire night until we left Mars Bar.
Mm-hmm.
That long, long walk between Mars Bar and Fallout, next door.
Yeah, I was going to say, one building.
I think it was the Jaeger Bomb. I really think it was the Jaeger Bomb, because I was okay with the rum and cokes until then, but...
Yes.
Things got very hazy for me after that, so no, I don't remember.
But you did like the Jaeger Bomb.
That's right. I did. It was tasty. I don't think I've ever had one before.
For anyone that hasn't tried a Jaeger Bomb, it is a shot of Jaeger dropped into a... larger glass filled with Red Bull. And
so that makes it my first Jaeger Bomb and my first Red Bull, because I've never had Red Bull either.
So it wakes you up and gets you drunk at the same time.
And that it did.
Yes. I remember everything. I was drinking slowly from place to place.
Chooch was the designated driver, so he stopped after a while and was very...
He was very good.
Very responsible, and the rest of us were not.
And the other thing, and I said earlier, is I think that the walking between the different bars helped to keep me like, because it was quite a hike from one end of it to the other. Yeah.
You get some air, and it's pretty cold.
It was really cold. Yeah.
And the other highlight of the evening weekend would have to be the Chaka Khan cake.
Chaka Khan cake.
Which is Viv famous for, I'm sure you talked about it on previous episodes.
Mm-hmm, the Chirpumple.
The Chirpumple cake.
Yeah.
Which is three cakes with pies in the middle. Mm-hmm. You know, different layers.
Cake pie, cake pie, cake
As
pie.
Featured in the Wall Street Journal.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
Yes, I was interviewed for the Wall Street Journal. There's a wee paragraph talking about our Chirpumple exploits.
Yes. So when we did the Chirpumple during BlenderCon, I suggested another layer.
A modification.
Which was chocolate cake with a pecan pie.
So good.
In the middle.
It's so good.
And it was a success.
It's fantastic. Yeah. It may now...
Because I did like the Chirpumple, but I like none of those pies or cakes really, you know, I wouldn't make them or buy them. I like chocolate cake. I like pecan pie. Those are my two favorites and they go well together.
Yeah. And as soon as you said it, it just made sense because I've had the pecan pie with the chocolate inside and it's like, oh yeah, that's amazing. It was way better than I even hoped. It was so, so good.
And Cheech is nodding, but he didn't. I don't even know if he tried it because he doesn't like pecan pie.
Care for pecan pie.
He doesn't like nuts in his sweets.
Yeah. Nope.
And you can interpret that however you like, people of the internet.
So Viv made me a special Boston cream pie, which is one of my favorites.
Yeah. I kind of cheated. I bought a pre-made one because I didn't have time.
But it's still Boston cream
pie. I know. You did not. You have not complained. You were very, very happy.
Because
you thought you were just going to be dessertless, and I'm like, never going to happen.
But the pub crawl was a big success, I think, for everybody that came. And
so fun.
You know, I mean, it's always great to visit with the GRD crew, and Terry is a wonderful, wonderful girl.
She is. I adore her.
You know, he's okay, but
Billy is awesome.
We put up with him, but
I heart Billy.
And of course, Bruce was Bruce last night, and that's always fun. So.
And that's the first time I ever got to really talk to Bruce.
And he made it through the whole night because the last year...
He skipped out at some point.
Yeah, like the second place. He had a back problem, so...
But last night he left at point and then we ran into him again at Fallout.
Yeah, he got called to Fallout. Yes, somebody had called him from there and said, get over here, stat. I guess another... He frequents there a lot.
He's a member.
Irregular.
Well, and the other folks that were there, of course, Chet, Mistress Chet on Twitter, and Shay, who I met at Balticon year before last, I think, but never really got to spend any time talking to her or anything like that.
Came down from Philadelphia,
where she lives. Oh, is that where she's?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So, which is actually closer than me, which is...
Yeah.
I was thinking, Philadelphia, it's got to be a long way.
Oh, it's like four hours.
Four and a half hours.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun. My only complaint would be that it was so friggin' cold. I asked Terry if there could be, like, a summertime pub crawl next year so we don't have to bundle up as much between places. But it was so fun.
Yes, and the other thing we didn't mention was that it was a... Fallout has always has themes on Saturdays. And the theme was steampunk this year. So for the GRD pub crawl, they said, hey, come dressed as steampunk. I didn't get the memo, so I was not, and I do have a steampunk outfit. But
you have a kick-ass steampunk outfit.
Yeah. But I, so we were a little afraid, because sometimes Fallout, they like to make fun of people that don't do their theme and make them do things, like take your shirt off, or...
Which was me last year.
Yeah.
They made me go tapas.
Yes. And, they were very good to us. They didn't make us do anything, so. Probably because it wasn't as crowded. If it had been like a crowded night, they would have had more, you know, if they just wanted people in there to make money, I'm sure.
Absolutely. And they did.
And they did.
They certainly made money off of our group. It was really fun, though. I'm really glad and grateful to them for putting that together and definitely planning on going again.
Sue Ellen Greenblatt is a real person, not an internet celebrity. So we've enlisted Billy Flynn and the Vicar to help her tell her story.
Geek Radio Daily gives me geeky news about movies, new DVD releases, even comics and gaming.
Geek Radio Daily makes me feel special.
Ah, yeah.
Womanly.
Yeah.
Okay, so the episodes are just 15 minutes, perfect for my commute or for just geeking out while I'm at the office.
Mm. All in one concise love package.
Ooh, the package, baby.
Uh-huh. And the best part is that it's a daily cast, so I'm always in the loop.
Sometimes I listen to it out of the bath, put on little outfits.
It makes me want to invite all my friends over to show how refreshed I feel.
A slumber party, baby.
What? That's not what I said.
Get out the
chocolate mousse.
Duct tape.
Oh, get out of here, you freaks.
Geek Radio Daily. One 15-minute podcast provides 15% of the USDA recommended daily allowance of geeky goodness. Subscribe through iTunes or visit geekradiodaily.com.
All right, so for the media review, I've got these just kind of clumped together by type of media, but starting off with podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one on the list, I don't know who edited the document after I created it, but one of you guys put Unkillable on there.
Yeah, I did.
And I am up because I work for Patrick McLean. It's, of course, Patrick McLean's new podcast novel, novella. And so I'm at like chapter 11 or 12 because I'm editing it. So I don't really know where it stops for one and two because he just uploaded episode two today.
Right.
So have you guys both listened to it?
I haven't listened to it, but he had me read it when he was writing it. So I don't know how it ends because he hadn't finished it when he sent it to me. But I probably read the first half of it at least from where, you know.
I listened to episode one. He just released episode two today or yesterday or
this morning.
Yeah, this morning.
Yeah.
So I haven't listened to that yet. But yeah, I wanted to add to the list because he's awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, chapter one was a great start. Yeah. So
yes, I think it's people are going to fall in love with it just like all his other stuff. He's very well known for his humor in his work, and there is a bit of humor in it, just situational because of what the person is going through. Just a brief synopsis. I mean, not giving away any spoilers, but the main character, something happens to him that makes him unkillable, but it's not in the way that you would think, like a superhero. Mm-hmm. It's not like he has special powers or, bad things still happen to him.
He's just invincible,
just unkillable. Yeah.
Exactly.
And there is some humor in it, but it's a little darker than How to Succeed in Evil if you've listened to that. But it's going to be a very good ride. So please check it out if you can.
Yeah. I mean, I'm more than a little biased, but I mean, it's really good. Because, I've got a whole like zombie issue, undead issue. But even with all of that, I was like totally hooked. It was really good. Again, it's a dark story, which I think he did a masterful job with. It's really, really good. And I can't wait till everybody gets to see how it ends. Or at least this part, because it's book one of three. There's three novellas for the complete story.
Didn't realize that.
Yeah. So it's fantastic. And of course, anytime... You know, how many hundreds of people have said, I could listen to Patrick McLean read the phone book.
Yeah.
Well, you can listen to him read his original story instead. And the next thing I've got on the list is The Dreamer's Thread by Starla Hutchton.
Ah.
I've listened to it, and we bought it. Have either of you listened?
I haven't listened or read it yet.
I have not listened to it. I've started reading it. I've got like 12 books I'm reading at the same time right now, and I did want to at least get a feel for it because I had met her at BaltCon, and then I saw her again at DragonCon. She's a wonderful lady, it's a really good start, and I'm looking forward to get back into it.
I haven't picked up the book yet, but I did listen to the podcast of it and was thrilled, and I do. I really like Starla. We also met her at BaltCon, she and I did, and she's just a fantastic chick, really, really cool chick. And wanted to see what she wrote after, really digging her. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed the story. And a nice, really awesome surprise was that Cheyenne Wright does one of the voices.
Oh,
and you know I love cool. Cheyenne Wright. So it was like,
oh, yeah. He's got Cheyenne. A great voice.
He does. He's got a fantastic voice. And he's just such a cool guy. He's such a very cool guy. And we recently found out Cheyenne and I share the same birthday, the mm-hmm. same exact birthday. And then we just found out that we also share the exact same wedding anniversary
yeah.
as he and his wife, which wow. is just kind of eerie and cool.
Very cool.
Yeah. But I really enjoyed the story. You know, it's otherworldly. Orally, you find out that she has got special powers in like the dream world.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things that she did were really creative and original. And her use of imagery is really fantastic. When she's battling the the dark characters, the creatures, the bad guys, it's just really compelling. So I really yeah. enjoy that, and I highly recommend it. After listening to it, we bought the book. She self-published, and so I'm anxious to read it and see what she did in the edits.
Cool.
It's really good, though. And then next on the list is Fetidus, which I have not listened to yet.
Yes, which I've started listening to on, he did a relaunch. So he started it, James Durham, started the podcast last year.
Mm-hmm.
He actually won the Parsec Award
for 2009.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Beating out a few other people.
That would be
me. Everybody.
Which richly deserved as far as production quality and story itself. He's wonderful. He's a musician and a podcaster mm-hmm. and a writer, and he's, you know.
Nice guy, too.
He irritates the piss out of me because he's so talented.
It had been on my list for a long time to start, and I just, you know, hadn't gotten around to it and met him at Dragon Con. He and I sat down in one of the room parties and
yeah.
just chatted for like a half an hour or something. It just really clicked.
Mm-hmm.
So then, I'm like, oh, well, yeah, I feel bad. I haven't started it, but now, it's after talking for a while, I think it's going to go to the top of my list. And he said, oh, well, wait, cause I'm going to relaunch. I'm redoing all the episodes because he had started it and he got like 9 episodes in, 8, something like that, and stalled out.
Mm.
And I'm not sure why there was, you know.
He had family things that came up, and he had to put it on hold for a while, and he didn't want to just pick it up. He wanted mm-hmm. to retool a few things, and which he didn't have to, but he did. And then he wanted to be able to get it all done, or at least a good percentage of it done before he restarted, so he waited until midsummer, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And he told me, wait for the relaunch. I'll let you know when I'm relaunching. And he actually did get everything recorded and in the can and done. Music done, voices done, some of the editing done. And now it's rolling. And he's, I think, like episode 14 now. And mm-hmm. I don't remember how long he said it was, like 20 or something. So it's well more than halfway done. Or
cool.
It might even be close to the end.
It was close to the end. He wanted the last episode to go out Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
But he did have a couple weeks where he couldn't. Yeah. So it might be done by the end of this month. So.
And the longest delay has been right now because it was supposed to be out Friday, but it ends up this episode so long that he's going to have to chop it in two. Now he's trying to find, the place to chop it or whatever. Anyways, all the technicalities out, but it's a very fun story. It's a zombie story. It's a, kind of post-zombie apocalypse where everybody's living with the threat of outbreaks.
Okay.
You have some people who are, there's basically 4 types of zombies, and it gets worse as you go higher. So you can actually have type 1 or type 2 zombieism, or you can keep it under control with drugs. So you're not
like totally, Zombrex.
Right. Exactly. And it's kind of a detective story.
Mm, okay.
So these the lead characters getting into all this intrigue, political intrigue. It's in post-apocalyptic DC.
Oh.
And great story. And really great voices, music, mm-hmm. everything. It's
Cool.
A lot of fun.
Next on the list is Fables of the Flying City, which our friend Jared Axelrod actually launched at Balticon this year. And I've been listening, and you've been listening, Chooch.
Yeah.
PG, have you been listening?
I listened to the first episode, and I have it downloaded in my queue, and it will be listened to.
It's waiting for you.
It's waiting for me.
Which he launched the first episode with the announcement that it was picked up to be published as a graphic novel. So he's been working with an artist. I don't recall the artist's name.
I don't remember.
And so in the publishing industry, I think most people know things have a long lead time.
Yeah.
They take a while to get done. So because of that long lead time, he made the announcement of the graphic novel and said, so today at Balticon, as a live episode, here's the first episode of the Fables, which are all prequels.
Right.
There's going to be two audiobook prequels, and he'll wrap up the last one when the comic actually launches next year.
But I'm really enjoying the story. It's a steampunk-based kind of story, which kind of usually will make me nervous because it seems like there's a lot of stuff coming out steampunk.
Right.
That it's the aesthetic is there, but there's not much of a story there. But not surprisingly, Jared is really handling the characterizations fantastically. I'm really, really, really enjoying the story. And I really can't wait to see where it goes. Because And he's doing something a little different. He's doing short-ish episodes. They're like 15 or 20 minutes, right?
Somewhere around there. Shorter than that, but yeah.
And
yeah.
So you get a little piece every week. And then he's kind of dropping in one of the characters, Gatling, this female character, who is a fantastic, fantastic character. I even at one point said that I couldn't wait to have soup and a smoke with Gatling because I thought it would just be such a fun adventure. But he's got an actress that is kind of, because he does readings. He does, the normal episodes are readings.
Just straight reads.
Straight
just
reads him. By Jared. Mm-hmm. And then he's got these, there's been like four where an actress has been reading as Gatling her exploits.
So she writes for a paper in that world.
Right.
So it's her articles, her editorial articles.
Yeah. And it's, I'm really enjoying it. I'm very excited every time I see a new episode in my queue. So I'm really happy to say that he kind of rose above my worry about steampunk.
It's very swashbuckler,
it
daring
is.
Do,
yes.
And a lot of humor. Jared always writes a lot of funny stuff.
Yeah. Did I say everything you wanted to say?
It's very steamy.
It's very,
not steamy.
It's not steamy. It's steampunky. Yeah. That's fun. It's a fun story. Next on the list is Harvey by Phil Rossi, another patio book.
Another one we may be somewhat biased.
Yeah, we might be mildly biased since you're the bass player in Phil Rossi's band.
Then we perform one, two songs that are actually in the book, kind of.
Really?
Right. Well, what he did is, as he was doing, the book is about a musician who's like basically wins like a American Idol.
Right.
And there's this whole thing where he has an affair with one of the judges. And then so, you know, he's kind of castigated. So he goes to this little town and in the middle of nowhere to record his album.
And the town's called Harvey.
And then crazy, creepy things ensue as they often do in Phil's world. And he... So as he was releasing the podcast, he started recording some songs.
Right.
And they were called like, you know, Harvey Sessions or something like that. And then he started releasing the songs. And so they're not directly in the podcast.
Okay.
But it's kind of like this transmedia, like these are the things this character is creating. And so he released a couple of the songs. And couple of those songs that are inspired or, you know, they're supposedly made by this character are in our set. So, yeah, I Like Your Grave is one. And,
which is my favorite song.
Room 16.
Okay.
Because he rents Room 16 in Harvey, and that's where he records the album.
Well, that's really cool. I had no idea. Grave is my favorite song that you guys do, hands down. Mine didn't light up.
Mine's over there. That was a volume key sound.
That was mine. Phone going under 20%.
I love the accusatory looks that we all get. Who did that?
Which droid did that?
Kaylee's looking for the sound.
That's clearly comes from a shadow.
A shadow that I don't see. I'm going to just turn.
Mine's on vibrate.
Mine's on vibrate too, but I'm going to just turn it off. I'm turning it off.
That was Kaylee's droid.
Wait.
Kaylee's droid.
I forget how to turn it off.
I was pretending like she has a phone.
Turn it off. I haven't had to turn it off that many times.
Off,
so it can't make any noise.
I just told this at the top.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Silent mode, sound off.
Go ahead and turn it off in case it starts making battery noises like Patrick's.
No, you got plenty of battery. I'll put it on airplane mode.
Okay, all right. Anyways. I really did enjoy Harvey. I mean, I've enjoyed all of Phil's audiobooks so far and his Fiction in Five that he's been doing and all of that stuff. I definitely enjoyed Crescent and Harvey. I'm going to say more than I enjoyed Eden. Eden was good, but
I still haven't listened to Eden.
It was good, but it wasn't nearly as good as Crescent or Harvey. I really liked the character development he did in Harvey, and he has easily my very favorite final line fade out of any of them that I've listened to yet.
Yeah.
Do you remember how he just kind of carried it out, the last line?
I do not.
Okay. I listened to the last episode again so that you can kind of see what he did. I was just like, that was so cool. You know, it wasn't like a big explosion ending kind of that he went out on. It was like, you know, it was like a story ending, but it was the way he faded out in that last episode just blew me away. It was, you can really... If you didn't know it any other way, if you knew nothing about him, you could really get that he's a musician the way that he did it. It was just really fantastic. So that's, cool. You know, it was really cool. I did enjoy the story. The characters were really...
He said, catch you on the flip side.
No.
Like those cool hip musicians do.
Oh, my God. So were there any other patio books that you guys wanted to talk about? Maybe Murder at Avedon Hill?
It's old.
And we've talked about it several times on here.
I do want to mention one podcast that I talked to you about, not a podcast novel, but Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
His new one. Yeah, I mean, he's been doing some podcasts for, what, 3 years now at least, and which is him and Kevin Mosier, his longtime producer.
Scott Mosier,
sorry. And then he started doing one with... Jason Mewes, who is Jay in the Jay and Silent Bob movies, or movies where they play those characters. And it's called Jay and Silent Bob Get Old. And he starts it by saying, you know, every life has a middle age, and this is what happens when Jay and Silent Bob get old. And then he's doing them live in front of a audience at Smod Castle or whatever it is, where he does his, you know, recording and stuff. Or I don't know how many people are there. Sounds like there's at least 20 or 30 people clapping. But it was just really interesting because they didn't really announce what it was. I mean, it was just them talking about things that have happened in their lives and just telling stories like he usually does in his podcast. And they're all very funny. But about 3 or 4 episodes in, because they started, they were saying, well, we're going to talk about, you know, Jay and how much he's gone through with his, you know, his addiction and the funny stories that go along with that. And after 5 or 6 episodes, it just kept getting not darker, but just, it's not just funny stories. It's this guy, I mean, he's had to deal with drug addiction all of his life, or not, you know, whenever he started. And, you know, the funny stories start getting very sad and, you know, almost pathetic, but still they're doing it in a humorous way when they're telling the stories. But by the time they get to episode 6 or 7, they're getting to the end of the whole story. They're almost up to the present. And Kevin Smith's like, you know, this podcast isn't, you know, it's funny and it's supposed to be funny, but it's really about, it's an intervention, you know, it's a public intervention for Jason because he's been clean now for, you know, 3 or 4 months. And he's like, we're going to keep doing this podcast till we die, as long as he doesn't take drugs. And it was just like, wow, you know, just, and he's just, you know, he says, because, I mean, it got popular really fast.
Naturally.
And Kevin Smith's like, you have 200,000 sponsors now out there that care about you and your you know, your sobriety, and it was really powerful for you know, a little wow. personal podcast that they're doing. So I would recommend that to anybody that either likes Kevin Smith or those movies, or just, you know, is dealing with something similar.
Mike's pathetic drug stories.
Yes, because they are funny.
Well, PG's told us this story 3 times now since he got here. You know, he told us, and then he talked about it last night, the pub crawl, and then telling it again. Mm-hmm. I get goosebumps. I literally get goosebumps every time he tells a story, because it's just, it's one of those things where, you know, a silly, funny podcast, but it has a greater meaning and a greater impact, and you know it's going to help other people.
Oh, yeah. And you know? I mean, and you hear this, as they're telling a story, you get, you know, just from watching the movies, and if you listen to any of the commentaries or anything, just that how close they are.
Yeah.
But you have no idea, or you don't realize how much Kevin Smith is like a father. I mean, he's taking care of him.
Wow.
And in some ways, maybe inadvertently supported his not getting off, just because he's always been there to catch him.
Right.
And you know, he finally got to the point where he couldn't do that anymore, and then, you know, that was part of the turnaround, I think, as well. And it was just all that stuff was very captivating audio.
I had a kind of similar experience with when I was in my early 20s in a band I was playing in, and one of our guitarists was a heroin addict. And he did heroin, and he did speed, and, you know, pretty much anything else he got his hands on. But the heroin is what really messed him up. Not speed, but crack. Right. And he lived in Compton, and not one of the best neighborhoods in Southern California.
Yeah, you see movies about Compton. Yeah.
And he, it's just so sad, because we'd been playing together for years, you know, the whole band. And just seeing him, he was starting to, you know, not show up for practice, and then not, you know, he pretty much always showed up for shows, but didn't necessarily perform very well because he was so messed up.
Mm.
And literally just seeing him deteriorate, where his skin was getting so thin. And we had kind of had a couple band meetings about it, and saying, you know, what are we going to do? And so we had talked to him and said, you know, you have to quit doing drugs, or we're going to kick you out of the band. It sucks working so hard and then, you know, having a performance fall apart because he screws up.
Right.
But just as a friend, just seeing him go through it was horrifying.
Right.
And we had tried a couple times to try to help him get help, and he just didn't want to. And he had one time where we thought he kind of hit bottom, and I told him, well, come live with me in my apartment, and, you know, you don't have to worry about rent, you don't have to worry about any of this, and, you know, for at least for, you know, a couple months or whatever, how long it takes to dry out and, you know, kind of get your stuff together. And we had talked to a couple of us worked at the same place, and we talked about maybe, you know, setting up with a job or whatever. And just get him out of, you know, Compton. And and he went for it, and he came, and he was staying with me for maybe a week or so, and he just disappeared.
Mm.
And it took a while, but we found out he had gone back to his parents' house, and boom, you know, started doing the drugs and everything again. And we kicked him out of the band.
Yeah.
And which was really scary, because he kind of, like, you know, that was one of the last things he had.
Uh-huh.
And so then he was kind of really suicidal, you know, like extra depressed. So we were worried that, you know, the guilt, if this would have been the thing that pushed him over the edge or whatever, which it didn't. And he just kind of fell off the grid for a while. And then I ended up moving out of the state and, you know, and
starting your family.
Yeah. Getting married and all this other stuff. And so I fell out of contact with a lot of the friends of that era. So it had been 4 or 5 years later, we saw him at a friend's wedding, and he still looked horrible. And, and having a conversation with him, he was living on a beach.
Wow.
And he absolutely hated himself. Most of the conversation was how much, you know, he hated his life and hated himself and had still not gotten it together. It's very sad.
Wow.
And he just hasn't gotten to the point yet where he wants to get out of it.
And that's like 20 years ago when you were in the band.
Oh, yeah. 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 Yeah, I haven't heard from him in quite a long time.
Wow. Well, hopefully the podcast that Kevin Smith is doing with Jason Mewes will... Obviously, you wanted to help him.
Yeah.
But hopefully it'll maybe straighten out some other... And hopefully keeps him from starting, hopefully.
Yes.
Yeah.
Perky, 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 guys.
Yeah, it didn't help that you're hungover and...
You know. I know, I'm sitting here going, oh...
Addiction stuff.
Yeah. Well, I'm not addicted to anything. That was, no, we were talking about. No, I know. It was just, we were talking about, I don't think that I've gotten that much alcohol in my system since like Dragon Con.
Oh, yeah, yeah, ago. Yeah.
That was, it snuck up on me. Once we stopped going from pub to pub and we were parked in one place, I think that's when it caught up with me. But yeah. I love going from talking about addiction to my hangover. Thanks, PJ.
I was referring to our energy level. Not about the actual alcohol that we drank.
Gotcha. Well, unless you guys have other podcasts that you want to talk about.
Well, a freshly launched podcast I just listened to today, launched yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
From Thomas Command Line Gideon and John Taylor Williams.
Oh, yes.
Two very, very favorite people.
Yes. So it's called Living Proof, which is based on the Ben Franklin quote. It's a cast about beer, about brewing beer, about enjoying beer, and the ongoing beer quest.
The eternal beer quest.
The Benjamin Franklin quote that beer is living proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the Living Proof podcast.
Yeah. And they've been in the work. This has been in the works since before Balticon.
It's been quite a while.
Yeah.
They've been trying to get their schedules together and
And they've been brewing together. They've done several batches of their own craft beers, I guess they're called. And
homebrew.
So now they've got their podcast out, which dropped today. So go check it out.
Yeah. So listen, episode one, and it's, you know, a getting to know you episode where they talk about, you know, how they started enjoying beer and what they like about it and what they like about brewing. And they talk about the state of their current brewing, the brews they're working on now. And a little bit about what they're going to talk about in the future. And I know that they're planning to do some interviews with some brewmasters of some of the local breweries.
Yep.
Some of our favorites. And a lot of fun.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't like beer. I keep trying. You know, you get a beer and you're like, oh, this one's great. And I try it and it just, I don't like the taste of beer, you know. And I really don't like the guisey or the heavy hoppy guise. I'm never going to say it right. Maybe if I liked it, I'd bother to learn how to say it right. It just tastes like skunky.
It's hard to like,
It's nasty. It's really bad. But, you know, one of the few beers, I can only think of two beers that I would ever intentionally order for myself to enjoy. And one of them is one that John and I think Thomas worked on, the Clark Kent that they crafted was delicious.
Clark Kent, the mild mannered ale.
Yes, it was really good. And I can honestly say I've never said that about a beer before. Very enjoyable. So I can't wait. I'm actually going to listen to that even though I don't like beer, partly because I adore them and partly because I'm actually interested in maybe finding out what my palate would like.
Yeah.
I just want to say that you talking about the Ben Franklin quote, and I look up and there's a Ben Franklin action figure on the shelf.
He is my favorite founding father.
He's one of your favorite historical figures, period.
Yes, absolutely.
Because over the years, I got him the Ben Franklin action figure.
With kite.
Key. Because, of course, that's all the action we... Well, that's not the only action. As far as what we can discuss historically in a clean environment. Yeah, he was a player big time.
But he's just kind of player. You know, old school hacker.
Yeah.
And really the grandfather of open source.
Yeah.
Where he would literally patent things just so that he could keep them open and make them free.
Yeah.
Like the Franklin, he created the Franklin stove, which was so that low-income families could have an affordable stove that they could use. And the only reason he patented it was so that another company wouldn't make them and charge an arm and a leg for them.
Yeah.
Cool guy.
Original gangsta. So yeah, Chooch, of course, slid right into that whole living proof thing because he is a huge Ben Franklin fan.
Hello, kittens. This is Viv. Just thought I'd let you know that our actual recording time in front of the mics was about 4 hours. We just kept going and going, giving recommendations and opinions and silliness. Instead of hitting your media device with 4 hours of that, we are going to break it up, which allows you to just listen to the portions that you want to and skip the ones you don't. So thanks for listening, and I'd love to have some feedback from you guys on this episode. We had a lot of fun, and I'm just not sure how that translated to you guys. So thanks. Bye-bye till next time. Thanks for listening to Into the Blender.
You can find information, comment on episodes, and subscribe to the podcast at intotheblender.com.
You can send us email to intotheblender@gmail.com.
Or you can leave us a voicemail at 657-464-4820.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives, 3.0 license.
You're free to make copies and share this podcast to your heart's content, just not modify or make money from it.
Theme music is provided by Sharif, found on podsafeaudio.com.
For more information about the artist, head to sharifmusic.com.
That's sharifmusic.com. See why we got to edit. We talked too late and we can't think no more.
Yeah.
Kaylee. Kaylee, come. Come. Kaylee.
Brain not work.
Say bye. Oh, you're going to act like a fool now, aren't you?
Thank you, Kaylee.
Kind of obscene watching her lick the microphone, though, I got to say.
She didn't lick it.
It looked from here like she was licking it.
It was just a snuffle.
Oh, okay.
Better than licking feet.
Not disgusting.
Well, she does a lot.
That is so gross. Not my feet.